Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for Monday Morning Health Briefs. The Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital is Dr. Thomas Moran. Doctor, good morning. Let's talk first about the numbers just released about COVID. In most states, trending is up. Emergency department visits up among people of all ages. What's the story around here?
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, usually we see summer, you think of colds going away, people are outside and active and the windows are open. But COVID kind of plays by a little bit different rules. Usually in late summer, we see a start of an uptick. When you think of viruses, there's RSV, flu, and COVID. We associate them mostly with winter because people get indoors. But also in the summer when it gets really hot, people kind of retreat to the air conditioning and they have closed windows and there's more chance of spreading some viruses. Both RSV and flu has been pretty steady, but there's been a slight uptick in COVID coming forward. The new variant is called Stratus, and the people are really associating with a razor blade sore throats that they've been getting. The biggest thing you could think of is, in protection for this, though, is to get the vaccination for COVID, especially as we head into the fall and into the winter months.
There's news about the flu vaccine. FluMist, is that what it's called? And is that going to be available soon?
Yeah, FluMist, it's been around for about 20 years, administered in the clinics. It's a nasal spray. There's a two little sprays. You do one in each nostril. It's available now for delivery at home. You have to pay shipping and handling, I think it is, but it's usually covered by insurance. It's available for anyone 2 to 50 years old. Younger than 2 and older than 50, there's other flu vaccinations that are a little bit more effective. But it's an easy, needle-free way to get yourself vaccinated. There's availability, I think, is in 34 states. It depends on some of the pharmacy laws in the states. But it's an easy way to save yourself a visit to a clinic or the doc and not get a needle in your arm. And you can do a spray up your nose and protect yourself from the flu.
And you say it is as effective as the standard flu shot in the arm?
Yeah. For the age groups from 2 to 50, works really, really well. And it's the testing that they have done on it over the years is anyone could really administer this. It's just a spray up the nose. There's many people taking nasal sprays. They know how to do it. It's basically just kind of pull the little nozzle in your nose and pull the trigger, and you just inhale it. You do one on each side. It's pretty simple. Most of the side effects that people get is a little runny nose or congestion, but that's about it.
And as far as a flu shot or the flu mist and a COVID shot, do you have to space them out, separate them, or not?
You don't have to really separate them. If you're going to go in and get your vaccinations, especially as we come into fall and winter, might as well knock them all out at one time and be done with it so you're completely protected.
There are some new blood pressure guidelines. So the next time we go to the doctor and have our blood pressure checked, is he or she going to tell us, this number used to be good, but now it's not?
Yeah, I mean, the 120 or 80, you really want to be below that number. It used to be if you were in the 130s to 80s, we were watching it. Right now, we're going to be more in the discussion of let's get you as optimized as possible. And there's some things you can do before you start taking medications. That's weight loss if you're overweight, eating well, really watching your salt intake as you kind of look through. Salt is in all our foods. Just to give you an example, like if you have one little bag of potato chips, that's 210 milligrams of salt. We don't want to really take in more than 1,500 in a day. So those people that are eating fast foods, you think of a burger or a large fry, that's about 1,000 milligrams of salt in a burger and probably 1,300 milligrams of salt in a large fry. That's the thing that contributes to increasing our blood pressure. The other things that we could do is limit alcohol. Alcohol consumption has association with raising blood pressure, and really there's new guidelines out that are saying instead of it's okay to have a drink or so a day, now it's looking at really should abstain from alcohol for various reasons. Blood pressure increase of GI cancers. There's really no overall benefit of it. So if you're going to do it, it's moderation, maybe a drink, but not every day. And then the other thing is replacing our sodium intake with potassium substitutes. And it really does work overall in a balanced diet of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, fish. We've talked about that many, many times. Food is medicine, and feeding ourselves well helps our body kind of maintain a healthy internal blood pressure and benefits to your entire health system.
Good to break the habit of even using the salt shaker at all if you can. And actually, if you start, it gets easier as you go on with that, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's one of the things. We're just used to it. A typical meal at a restaurant, if you go to any restaurant, it's going to be your average daily allowance of salt intake. It's just what is there. It's one of the things that adds taste. But if you can kind of limit yourself from shaking any salt on, it's going to go a long way to helping you out.
Dr. Thomas Moran is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Another item here about alcohol that's interesting, Doctor. A record low number of Americans are drinking. According to the latest poll just out, 54% of Americans said they consume alcohol, said they consume alcohol at all. Just 54% said they consume alcohol at all. And according to the new guidelines, I guess that's good news, isn't it, Doctor?
Yeah, it is good news. I think people are starting to realize that, you know, the negative effects of alcohol. I mean, for years we've been saying, you know, maybe a glass of wine a day is helpful where it's moderate drinking. But, you know, the research is showing we're having younger people developing gastrointestinal cancers. There's more focus on the contributing factors to hypertension. And if you could limit your amount of alcohol intake, it's great. You know, it's hard for anybody to completely abstain. There's a lot of people that do. But if you're going to drink, you know, have one drink maybe once a week or something like that, but refrain from what we used to look at as you can have a drink a day. It should be you should have a drink once in a while as opposed to daily. And I think a lot of the new recommendations are looking at it. If you can abstain, that's wonderful because it helps you out overall in your health.
As far as the new recommendations for exercise, we're getting all these studies about walking, and they all kind of point in the same direction, don't they? That you don't need quite as many steps as we once thought, but you have to go at a good pace, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I think there's all this research coming out, and, you know, it was 10,000 steps, and some study said 12,000. The new one says 7,000 steps is kind of the sweet spot. I think the takeaway is really to think of it as we just need to move. There's a lot of our time that is spent sitting. There's a lot of people that are office-based work where the majority of their time is sitting in a chair. So the times you could get up and move around is going to be beneficial. So if you think of 7,000 steps, the typical person takes about 2,200 to 2,500 steps to walk a mile. So you're looking at about 3.5 miles a day of movement. And you can break this up into different things. In the morning, you know, if you're going to work, if you're, you got a couple floors to go up, take the stairs instead of the elevator. You know, park further away from the store so you could walk. Move after you have dinner. Go for a walk around the block. Take the dog for a walk. Play with the kids. Do something where you could stay moving. And those steps will add up pretty quickly. Yard work, you know, on the weekends adds up really fast if you're doing some yard work steps wise, but it's really coming down to just stay active, you know, have a good healthy intake of food and move. The more movement we have, the better our bodies perform and react, and it decreases our overall chances of developing chronic illnesses.
Don't be lazy. Sitting is the new smoking. And before we let you go, I did want to mention something about this Northwestern University study. The researchers there were looking at fake scientific publications. It's a serious problem. It's a growing problem, especially with all the health information available on the internet. You must run into this all the time with patients coming in and diagnosing themselves, and they're all wrong many times, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of it comes into how you go about asking the question or the query. It's sometimes called a prompt. I mean, years ago, when Google first started coming out, we used to say people came in already diagnosed themselves with Dr. Google. And it was looking up various things. There's many, many symptoms and conditions that are similar. And so in looking at the bigger picture stuff, you have to take in all the information. The problem with some of the internet or these AI models, it is the model itself can lead you into the wrong direction, but the way you ask the question can also lead you into the wrong direction. And without a little bit of, you know, questioning the question, I think you could run into some problems or misinformation. And that's one of the times where you really have a discussion with your doc. There's nothing wrong with doing your own research, but the other side of it is confirming what you found with your physician so you can have a good conversation to understand what's best for you and what is really the truth, as opposed to the misinformation that's out there. Because like anything else, it's the internet. Anyone can post anything, and there's a lot of information that is not necessarily on point or truthful. And you want to make sure, especially when you're going to take medications or supplements or stuff like that, that you understand what those can do to your body and talk with your doctor about it.
There was a story last week about a 60-year-old guy who spent 3 weeks being treated at a hospital after he replaced table salt with sodium bromide after he consulted with ChatGPT. So don't go away, doctor. We need you. Thank you again. And talk to you soon.